chocolate," snapped Unity. "I do not eat it." "We shall see," Mr. White said. "Your associate seemed to prefer the axe." He pointed to the body of Lutse, to the empty patch of cobbles where Lutse had been. A hand tapped him on the shoulder.
"Why is it," said a voice by his ear, "that no one ever believes in Rule One?"
Above him, the sky began to burn blue. Susan sped up the street to the clock shop. She glanced sideways, and Lobsang was there, running beside her. He looked human, except that not many humans had a blue glow around them. "There'll be grey men around the clock," he shouted.
"Trying to find what makes it tick."
"Ha, yes."
"What are you going to do?"
"Smash it."
"That'll destroy history."
"So?" He reached out and took her hand. She felt a shock run up her arm. "You won't need to open the door. You won't need to stop. Head straight for the clock," he said.
"But
don't talk to me. I've got to remember."
"Remember what?"
"Everything." Mr. White was already raising the axe as he turned around. But you can't trust a body. It thinks for itself. When it is surprised, it does a number of things even before the brain has been informed. The mouth opens, for example.
"Ah, good," said Lutse, raising his cupped hand. "Eat this."
The door was no more substantial than mist. There were auditors in the workshop, but Susan moved through them like a ghost. The clock glowed, and as she ran towards it, it moved away. The floor unrolled in front of her, dragging her back. The clock accelerated towards some distant event horizon. At the same time, it grew bigger, but became more insubstantial, as if the same amount of clockness was trying to spread itself across more space. Other things were happening. She blinked, but there was no flicker of darkness.
"Ah," she said to herself, "so I'm not seeing with my eyes. And what else? What's happening to me? My hand looks normal, but does that mean it is? Am I getting smaller or bigger?
Are you always like this?" said the voice of Lobsang.
"Like what? I can feel your hand, and I can hear your voice. At least, I think I can hear it, but maybe it's just in my head. But I can't feel myself running.
So analytical."
"Of course. What am I supposed to be thinking? Oh, my paws and whiskers?"
"Anyway, it's quite straightforward. It's all metaphorical. My senses are telling me stories because they can't cope with what is really happening."
"Don't let go of my hand."
"It's all right. I won't let you go."
"I meant, don't let go of my hand, because otherwise every part of your body will be compressed into a space much, much smaller than an atom."
"Oh. And don't try to imagine what this really looks like from outside.
Here comes the clock!"
Mr. White's mouth closed. His expression of surprise became one of horror, and then one of shock, and then one of terrible, wonderful bliss. He began to unravel. He came apart like a big and complex jigsaw puzzle made of tiny pieces, crumbling gently at the extremities, and then vanishing into the air. The last piece to evaporate was the lips, and then they too were gone. A half-chewed, chocolate-coated coffee bean dropped onto the street. Lutse reached down quickly, picked up the axe and flourished it at the other auditors. They leaned back out of the way, mesmerised by authority.
"Who does this belong to now?" he demanded. "Come on, whose is it?"
"It is mine. I am Miss Taupe," shouted the woman in grey.
"I am Mr. Orange, and it belongs to me. No one is even sure that taupe is a proper colour," screamed Mr. Orange.
An auditor in the crowd said, rather more thoughtfully,
"Is it the case, then, that hierarchy is negotiable?"
"Certainly not."
Mr. Orange was jumping up and down.
"You have to decide it among yourselves," said Lutse.
He tossed the axe into the air. 100 pairs of eyes watched it fall. Mr. Orange got there first, but Miss Taupe trod on his fingers. After that, it became very busy and confusing, and, to judge by the sounds from within the growing scrum, also very, very painful. Lutse took the arm of the astonished Unity.
"How quickly they learn, eh?" he said. "Best to let them sort it out themselves. No one will thank us for interfering."
There was a scream.